Dave, Katie, and Nate in Las Vegas. Thank you, CBS Radio, and thank you, Jiffy Lube. JiffyLubeCA.com for all their valuable coupons keeping us on the road all year long.
Care for some breaking news?
I would love it.
6:59, Dateline San Antonio, according to the official San Antonio Spurs Twitter account. After 19 seasons, Tim Duncan announces his retirement.
Wow.
Okay, no lie. This is weird. I totally just got chills. That's crazy just hearing that news. Yeah, that's
that means I said it well, right?
Wow.
The last we heard,
Tim Duncan was 39 years old.
There it is. Coming
he didn't
up
die.
On, coming up on the old telly right there in front of us. They're announcing it right now. So the interesting thing is, what was it, a few weeks ago that he picked up the option on his contract, which was a minuscule amount of money. So at that point he still had not decided whether or not he would retire, so he picked up the option. There's a long list of NBA greats that are absolutely future Hall of Famers that are at the end or nearing the end of their career, and I was thinking about it towards the end of this season. Guys like Tim Duncan, obviously. We've got Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili that we're really wondering when they're going to hang them up. Dirk Nowitzki.
Who's also coming back.
Yeah, but, I mean, they're nearing the end of their career. So as we're watching them play, and it's the crazy part about it is, like I said, they're future Hall of Famers, and I would not be shocked if they're first ballot Hall of Famers.
Oh, there's no doubt.
Yeah, so when you look at it, you're like, we're nearing the end of an era in the NBA where a lot of these greats are about to be done with their career, and it's like, who's coming behind them? You know, you've got the Russell Westbrooks, the Kevin Durants, the Steph Currys, Klay Thompson, like these players, the LeBron James, but there is a new generation of guys that are coming up, and who knows, is it going to be in this rookie class? But it's crazy. What did Tim Duncan play for, 19 years or something crazy?
19, and there's, I don't know if that's what you're pulling up. I've got the announcement right here, the actual press release. It's lengthy, and it's worth it because there's a lot of good things in there. In his 19 seasons, 5 titles, a 7-10 winning percentage, which is the best 19-year stretch in league history, and the best in all of the NBA, NFL, NHL, and Major League Baseball over the last 19 years. Let's see, what else do we got here? 15 All-NBA selections, 15 All-Defensive Team selections, Rookie of the Year, 2-time MVP, 3-time Finals MVP, 15-time All-Star. Spurs all-time leader in total points, rebounds, blocked shots, minutes played, and games played. He's 3rd in assists. The only player in NBA history to play over 9,000 career minutes in the playoffs, ranking 1st all-time in postseason double-doubles and blocks, 3rd in rebound, and 6th in points.
And with all that being said, and I don't know if you mentioned in there, because there was a lot in there, that he was also 8-time all-defensive team.
Yeah.
But you know what Tim Duncan will probably always be remembered for is not getting a gold medal in the Olympics. So kind of a disappointing career for Tim Duncan.
Because he's not just
a bronze.
What is he for, like, from the British Virgin?
No,
Islands
he played. Yeah,
like
but
that?
he actually represented the U.S.
Did he?
Yeah.
No way.
And
well,
it says right in front of me. 2004 in Athens, he got a bronze. That was the only Olympics he participated in. Tim Duncan, quite frankly, without a doubt, is one of the greatest of all time. Tim Duncan will forever be, and I think this is a fact, Tim's going to be one of those guys that people like us 20, 30 years from now, guys like you, Nate, when you're at the end of the bar all crumpled up and saying offensive things to women.
Tim Duncan was really the best.
He's going to be one of those guys that we argue with the younger generation about, like, oh, no. He may not have put himself out there as much as this guy, but Tim Duncan really was the best power forward of all time.
Ever.
And when you factor in, and I love that this has been announced on San Antonio's Twitter with a quiet press release. I'm sure he's going to have a press conference only for the fans, really.
Well, and
if it was up to him, he probably wouldn't.
I thought about this all season. It was like this gigantic farewell tour for Kobe Bryant, and I don't want to take anything away from Kobe's career.
I cannot decide
whether or not it was the Lakers that were making the big to do about it or whether Kobe wanted the big to do, but I will say this, and for them to do that and announce it when they did and have most of the season to go ahead and say goodbye to Kobe Bryant, that's the only way that they sold tickets this year. That's how they made money. was off of the only piece that they had left of their legendary run, you know, in winning titles, and the era was shut. Like, Kobe was the last tie to that. And they're at the bottom of the NBA right now. And who knows if Timofey Mozgov is not the answer. You know, like, who knows when they're going to kind of return to the status that they held in the NBA for decades. So, you know, Kobe had this gigantic farewell tour. And then you look at Tim Duncan, and we're sitting here going, when is he going to do it? But you absolutely knew that if he was going to do it, it was going to be quiet. There wasn't going to be this big to-do about it. He wasn't going to make a big deal of it. He was going to, you know, go out exactly like he did.
Duncan cites his late mother as his main inspiration, amongst other things. She taught him and his sisters the nursery rhyme, good, better, best, never let it rest until your good is better and your better is your best, which he adopted as his personal motto. He was honored with the Virgin Islands Medal of Honor, which is their highest award, as Tim Duncan Day out there. He co-authored a chapter in the social psychology book Aversive Interpersonal Behaviors in college to go with his degree in psychology. And in addition to his many, many, many charitable contributions through his Tim Duncan Foundation, he compares himself to Will Hunting of the movie Good Will Hunting, which centers, of course, on the genial antagonist. I'm totally not reading this character of Will Hunting. He says, quote, I'm just a taller, slightly less hyperactive version of the Matt Damon character in that movie. I really enjoyed how he probed people and found out their weaknesses just by asking questions and stating outlandish remarks. He admits to shunning the limelight because fame is not me. Off the court, Antonio Daniels is his best friend. And finally, on Tim Duncan, he loves Renaissance fairs and the fantasy role-playing game Dungeons & Dragons. As an avid video game player, he acknowledges a certain joy of playing himself on basketball video games, and if he had the chance, would challenge NBA legends Wilt Chamberlain and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar to a game of one-on-one. There will, you know, you hear stuff, there will never be another this guy. There will never be another Tim Duncan.
You know, no. You know what I find kind of, all of those things that you read that make Tim Duncan such an interesting person, like, if he was going into the NFL draft combine, those would all be red flags.
Sure.
Yeah, like, sure. That guy's not equipped to be one of the greatest professional athletes of all time. He's got too many other interests. He's too well-rounded.
That's amazing. It's just amazing how we lose. It's, again, it's like they're dead. We lose Kobe Bryant and Tim Duncan. Tim Duncan, 39 years old, in the same year. And the way they both retired are the polar opposites, as Katie was talking about. So a lot there today. The text line chiming in from the 916. Here's a great comment. Tim Duncan. That's...
Hey, it's my job.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. So more on Tim Duncan throughout the day. And sorry, Willie Cauley-Stein got pushed. But if you're going to get pushed by Tim Duncan. We'll play that sound when we get back. And at some point today, guys, we're going to mention the Pokemon Go game. It's going to happen. Sometimes real life bleeds in to our little sports circle. And we need to talk about this because the statistics on this game are freaking insane. Willie Cauley-Stein next on The Drive, live from Las Vegas, Sports 1140 KHDK. New acquisition Matt Barnes had a chance to see some of the newest Kings yesterday at Summer League. We'll talk about that and hear from Willie Cauley-Stein in just a couple of seconds. Also, stories that we're following today that are all breaking. There's just breaking news all over the place. The UFC has been sold, as had been rumored, in fact, maybe expected, just 2 days after UFC 200, and I would imagine they knew before UFC 200 they were going to be sold. And as Dana White told me personally about 2 weeks ago, we're not for sale. So, of course, the UFC sold. I spoke briefly with Dana White last night, who said, I'm not going anywhere. That was the highlight, in addition to, woo-hoo-hoo, I'm rich! So that was his comments. Of course, he said, I'm not going anywhere, which, judging by Dana White, and usually what he tells me means he's probably going somewhere. But in all truthfulness, he is expected to stick around. He is now, if you judge the valuation or the sale, I should say, at $4 billion, Dana White, at least as thought, owned 10% of the company. Lorenzo and Frank Fertitta, the Fertitta brothers, owned 80%, and then the remaining 10% owned by a company called Flash Entertainment out of the Middle East. So for Dana White alone, that's about $400 million. Not bad for a company that was bought in the early 2000s from SEG for $2 million. $1,000. That's quite the profit there as well. We'll follow that. Also, Tim Duncan announces his retirement today simply by a press release and a tweet from the San Antonio Spurs Twitter account. So that's exactly how I think we all expected Tim Duncan to retire. A lot of stuff to cover today. I caught up with Willie Cauley-Stein after the game yesterday. Just be advised, if you hear the noise in the background, there's a lot of stuff going on in the hallways there. And then towards the end, I walked him to the bus. So it was a interview and a walk and talk all at the same time. Here's the sophomore, Willie Cauley-Stein, on Summer League and all other things.
Willie Cauley-Stein, right after Summer League. How do you feel, man? What are you trying to get out of Summer League? You, a sophomore now.
Just expand my game out a little bit, become, you know, an offensive threat, build off my defense, to gain confidence going into training camp and to the USA select team, just to get in shape, too.
I think the fans have really picked up on your intellect and a lot of what you said by saying so little about how you were dealt with last year. How much of a motivator is that for you going into next year, really showing? I mean, in some ways, this is almost like your rookie.
So, yeah, like even Summer League, you know, I'm a sophomore, but I don't feel like a sophomore. Like, I'm still, you know, trying to figure out. I'm playing a different role now, so it's not just get to the baseline and don't touch it. Now it's like, yo, we're going to throw you the ball. You're going to, you know, be able to make plays. And so it's different. It's, you know, being in that box for, you know, a whole year and they're drilling. You do this, and then you get to lead a box and they're telling you, just forget all what you learned last year. This is what it matters this year. And it's like, you know what I'm saying? You just got to, you know, battle old habits.
Well, we know you well enough to know, you know, you don't want to dwell on it, but You said some pretty strong stuff towards the end there as a rookie when you made some statements about how you weren't being used right and you look forward to showing what you can do. So, again, you're talking about being in a box. Have we even seen your real game yet?
I don't think so, and I don't think I've seen it because there's just so much stuff that I think that I can do with the amount of time and work with the coaches that we got now that – I think it's going to blow a lot of people's minds. So it's just now it's just building off of this. You know, this is the first step right here, the Summer League, you know, working on what I'm working on, facing up, shooting, you know, driving, getting to the ring, getting to the free throw line. So a lot of that's building. You know, like right now it's not even about finishing. It's just about doing the move and, you know, getting to the right spot and getting to everything. So, I mean, that's where we're at now.
We'll see you tomorrow. Appreciate your time. You enjoying having all these Kentucky guys?
Yeah. It's good to, you know, have family in the team. Especially younger guys, you know, you can kind of relate to. You know, maybe they're closer to my age, so it's like it's a lot cooler, I guess.
Appreciate it. See you tomorrow.
That's Willie Cauley-Stein. Again, apologies for the audio. A lot of stuff going on in the background. We were walking towards the bus. Some highlights, though, from what he said, whether you could or couldn't hear that at parts. He's training for the USA Select team, so he's getting in that USA basketball right. kind of mode there. And he mentioned, as far as last year, he said it was more of get to the baseline, don't touch the ball, and that he was in a box. And I asked him if we've seen his real game yet, and he said no, and I don't think I've seen my real game yet. So, again, Willie very open about the fact that he was, in his opinion, very much underused and incorrectly used by George Karl, and is feeling a lot better about being with Dave Yeager, Elston Turner, and the rest of that coaching staff and being able to do some new things this year.
Yeah, interesting. I was trying to – one of the, maybe you can help me – clarify this, but when he was talking specifically about, hey, do this, you know, forget everything you learned last year, is that like what? Clarify that, like who was telling him that? What?
I think part of that is him. That's an assumption in his head because yes,
I'm not like trying to make accusations.
No.
I literally did not.
I think he was referring to both the coaching staff saying unlearn everything.
No, I think part of it too is it's going to be a different system.
Yes.
So the only NBA system he knows is the one he played in under George Karl. So a lot of the things, it is kind of a forget the system because you're not going to be playing in the same. Your role will likely change, but I mean, this isn't a guy at Kentucky that was a go-to offensive threat, per se. There was plenty of other scorers around him. So we were all pleasantly surprised by his offensive development last season. And I think that he still has a ton of room for improvement and that the sky is the limit for him. I don't think that that means that he needs to have the mentality that when he comes in this season and just his second NBA season alongside guys like DeMarcus Cousins, that he's going to be the number two option in the offense. I don't think that's the way to go into it. But to feel comfortable, which we saw him get comfortable having the ball in his hands towards the end of the season and making decisions, that's fine. Continue to grow and develop.
I think, to be fair, it should also be clear, and that might follow and tie into what he just said. Watching him yesterday in Summer League versus Houston in their loss to Houston, he did not look good.
No, he didn't. I mean,
he looked very uncomfortable.
He was rushing things quite a bit, and this is because he's surrounded by a ton of guys that he hasn't really played with. They don't know each other very well. He is the kind of number one option in the offense right now. And so it is normal for him to kind of have the yips a bit because he's trying to force things to happen instead of letting the game come to him. And that's just part of what Summer League is. I mean, it's kind of, it's hard to see the value in Summer League in terms of really getting good reps for guys. It's playing, but you're not playing in your role. You're not playing with the guys that you're going to be playing with during the season. But I'm not worried about how Willie looked in terms of, you know, what he did on the floor. His conditioning, you could tell he was very tired. And, you know, that's normal. It's one thing to be working out and training during the summer, and he should have taken some time off. But, I mean, if he's going into USA Basketball and all of that, he's out of shape right now in terms of his wind, his conditioning.
We have to take a break, and when we get back, I have a question about something you just said, Katie. 11 points, 6 boards, 2 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks, and 1 turnover on 3 of 11 shooting in 26 minutes for Willie Cauley-Stein. So it's not like he stunk up the joint, but again, he looked uncomfortable.
3 of 11
shooting. Right.
That's where it was. It's just that he was forcing things a little bit offensively.
So I think I disagree, but I want you to explain when you were talking about the virtue of Summer League for somebody like Willie Cauley-Stein, I can think of a very big virtue, I think, and you and I can argue about that when we get back, as to why it's really necessary. In fact, maybe more necessary for Willie to play this year than he did last year in Summer League. We'll talk about that in a few minutes as we continue from Las Vegas. Thanks to Jiffy Lube getting us down here, keeping us on the road. JiffyLubeCA.com for all your valuable coupons. Please support them because they support us and let us bring you all this coverage. We're right back from Vegas on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHTK. It's Tim Duncan's retirement, and Pop's going to have the presser. So I don't know if at some point Tim will address the media.
Pop is probably going to talk about the planets in the solar system or something like that.
He probably will. It'll be like a 30-second press conference. Just want to announce Tim Duncan's retiring. Any questions? Yeah, your thoughts on Tim. He was great. Next question. No, it'll just be Pop.
And then it'll be, what do you know in terms of your how much longer you will be coaching?
Yeah, next question. I'll let you know when I retire. Next. That's it. That's Greg Popovich.
That's it. There's your presser.
So here's the question. I'm not historically, I don't have all the dates and players down, but I would imagine it would be very difficult in a calendar year to lose more greatness than Peyton Manning, Kobe Bryant, and Tim Duncan. That's a pretty damned good trifecta.
Yeah.
And I can't go back and say, well, the same year Jordan retired, so did this guy and that guy. And maybe there are. I don't have years memorized. I'll just say you're losing a top 5 all-time quarterback, a top 10, and possibly, and this is an argument, but you could make an argument for 2 top 10 all-time NBA players. And I just saw online, in addition to somebody tweeting that when Tim Duncan announced his retirement, he was ironing blue jeans and watching Ken Burns' documentaries, which makes a lot of sense, that Tim Duncan is the closest our generation has to Bill Russell. And I think that's a really, you know, you don't want to compare, but I think in the sense that he didn't win all the titles Bill Russell did, but just the guy who did everything right, was a consummate team player, was all about winning rings, and was kind of a quiet giant. I think when you stick to those comparisons, it's very apropos. You made a sour milk face, though, Nate.
Why can't Bill Russell be Bill Russell and Tim Duncan Tim Duncan?
Because we compare.
I mean, I don't, like, I'm not coming after you for this.
No,
I think it, with Tim Duncan, it really speaks for itself. You know, this isn't like a draft prospect where we have to say, hey, this guy really reminds me of Ray Allen. I don't know.
Historical precedent, Nate. It's what we do.
Well, Tim is the precedent.
Yes.
Is all. And that's so, geez, Dave, get it together.
Want to take a.
Before, I hate when things like that happen.
We'll get back to listening to Malachi Richardson here in a second, Maddie, if you get that sound ready. But I just want to pause because I got to get this in at some point, and if I don't want to get it in later. I don't know how familiar you guys are and everybody else listening right now to the game Pokemon Go. You go, why are you, David, what are you doing? You're in summer. Because sometimes real life factors into our world. And this game, I walked into this.
Hold on. Sometimes real life crosses over. And this freaking game.
Yes. This one right here. I walked in and I saw two people, I think another DJ in the building and an engineer who both, I think, are at least in their 40s. And if you're listening and you're under 40, sorry, guys, talking about the Pokemon they caught over the weekend in their game. Now, if you're the brief, is this a Pokemon theme? See, because I don't know Pokemon. Matt George, are you playing the Pokemon theme?
This is the Pokemon theme.
Okay, and I don't know anything about Pokemon other than they have one called Pikachu. I know nothing.
I know more than I know.
There you go.
In high school, the kids that played Pokemon used to get their heads stuck in the toilet.
Is it a? It's a game.
So here's what.
Isn't it a cartoon?
It's a cartoon. It's a card game, a cartoon, all this stuff. There's a whole generation of kids.
Uno is a card game.
Yes, so is Pokemon, I guess. They came after us, these kids, who grew up on the Pokemon.
That's what grew up on.
There you go. So Matt George, shockingly, into Pokemon. So this game for your smartphone, you download it, as I did on Saturday, just because I had to see what the hell this was. Uses something called augmented reality, where it uses your GPS and your little guy in real time is walking down these streets, and you look all over the place. And I'm going to screw some of this up, so Pokemon nerds, shut up. But you find like a little Pokemon, which is like this animal that you can grab and trap and then train to fight other Pokemon, apparently. And when you find the Pokemon on the real street, like you're walking down Fair Oaks Boulevard and there's a Pokemon by Windmill Car Wash, all of a sudden your screen goes transparent, so it's like you're looking through your phone, like as if your camera was on, so you can see everything in the background, the car wash, the street, and all that. And the Pokemon will be like hanging out in the street, and you have to fire these little balls to catch them. Pokeballs, thank you. But it uses augmented reality, so the playing field is what you're actually seeing in real life with these Pokemon superimposed over it. Well, just some quick statistics, because I know you can't care, but God does the world. 60%. This is insane. It's already more popular than Tinder, Katie, your website.
So funny. I'd swipe left for you, Dave.
Thank you. And that sounds, by the way, that's a great promo. Is it swipe right if you like?
Yeah.
Okay, we need to come up with a promo. Swipe right for the drive. It's already past Tinder, and soon at this rate will have more daily users than Twitter.
Forget Twitter. What you just said is people are more into catching Pokemon than they are actually doing it with each other.
Yes. Pokemon, yes.
Nerd!
3% of the entire U.S. population who use Android smartphones use this app. 5% of all Android devices two days after the release had it. Nintendo stocks have soared more than 20%. This game was released last week, okay? And there has been controversy, shockingly. Matt, you can kill that music, by the way, please, for our one listener left. Shockingly, because it uses augmented reality, you have issues. Like, I don't know, people walking out in the middle of streets. Because they're trying to catch a Pokemon. Somebody in Missouri discovered a dead body while hunting for Pokemon. It is ridiculous. By the way, in less than a week, 2 days to be exact, the amount of money in stock added to Nintendo's value in 2 days, $7.5 billion. I bring this up, that's Pikachu, because this... this augmented reality style of games. Screw Pokemon. Who cares? Well, obviously, we don't care, but a lot of people do. Screw Pokemon. But this is the future of gaming, and when it starts circling over into, I don't know, sports games on your phone, scavenger hunts, I think Pokemon Go in a few years is going to be looked at as, okay, that was the genesis, really, of the public consciousness. But this is going to bleed into our lives as we get into the next generation. VR headsets coming out for the PlayStation in the fall, this kind of stuff. This is the future. And I know our boss, Kevin Sheritz, is listening right now because he's at the studio. And I know that Promotions loves it when I come up with Promotions ideas on the air. But gee golly, we need to sit down and find a way to come up with the first annual KHTK Pokemon Go tournament.
I'm going to be on vacation.
Hell yes.
You already were on vacation. You're going to host it. Hosted by Katie Christensen, the first annual KHTK Pokemon Go hunt. We'll just have people hunt around our parking lot for Pokemon.
Hey, didn't you guys have the food thing?
We had the barbecue on Friday. Thanks to Dickie's Barbecue and everybody involved. We were outside. It was serving mac and cheese and beans and coleslaw. It was a great turnout. We had for the little time we had to promote it, we had 40, 60 people up at lunch. Moms, dads, a lot of kids were there.
You know what we still have coming up next Monday?
What?
We've got the first installment of the Katie Education, the movie Education.
That is
Godfather
absolutely correct.
Part one.
That's right.
Next Monday.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. That's the day I come back in town.
A week from today.
And we'll be showing that at 6 p.m. Studio Movie Grill. And we'll be
That's in Rockland, right?
That is in Rockland. We'll be doing that. And remember, we're taking one for the team here because we want to get you educated. That's a 3-hour-plus movie showing at 6 p.m. on a school night. So Tuesday morning, maybe a tad sleepy, but not too sleepy to give you, Katie Christensen, after you've had your coffee, a Godfather quiz.
Okay.
You'll be tested.
I'll be tested.
Not like
that's not fair.
No,
do you want
no,
me to write a movie review?
You absolutely have
You're
to write
going
a movie
to have
review.
To give a report.
It's like a book report.
And it's not her review is very important because what we're doing over the next few months is we're picking movies that Katie, who spent her life in a hobbit hole up north somewhere by Oregon, has not seen a lot of these movies.
Okay, so just to be clear on this,
yes.
We're going to allow viewers we're going to make a list of all the movies that I haven't seen, and then we're going to like put them up so that viewers can choose.
And they'll be able to vote.
They'll be able to vote.
They'll choose the next movie.
The first two are going to be Godfather.
The first one is going to be Godfather. The first one will be Godfather. Then Godfather 2 will be thrown. We're going to come up this week, Katie. You will come up with 10 movies off air that you haven't seen. And Nate and I will help with like, oh, you've got to see this.
Yeah. Right.
Then we will put really 9 movies up because Godfather 2 is already won. The listener, you, will be able to vote on, this is the movie Katie needs to see next.
Okay.
And then Studio Movie Grill will show it not only for Katie, but for the rest of you.
Well,
there'll be specials and fun.
Tweet us at the draw. I mean, because I'll come up. Obviously, I don't know what movies I haven't seen. You guys know. Like, you'll suggest
we'll go through
movies
some lists.
Be like, I've never seen that. So let our listeners, you can text us, you can tweet us at The Drive, 1140.
And we'll just say to you, have you seen this?
Help us come up with this list of movies that I absolutely need to see.
It's an absolutely good idea. So we're
summer movie fest.
Especially Dan back from vacation is that Monday. So I'm coming straight back in order to do that. And then, there you go, we're on. So a big week plus. So thanks to everybody for the barbecue.
Yeah.
For showing up. That will not be our last. We're going to do another one here very, very soon. So a lot of stuff planned for you guys.
And we've got some more stuff, too.
Absolutely.
Got some more stuff coming up. Tune in.
Speaking of stuff coming up, since we're doing all this fun stuff at KHTK, make sure you listen to us and, of course, Grant Napier, the 12th through the 18th. That's tomorrow through the 18th. We've got 4 packs of tickets to the American Century Championship, the golf tournament up in Tahoe. Always a blast. Steph Curry just signed on to play in this thing, in addition to Jerry Rice, Charles Barkley, Aaron Rodgers, Ray Romano, and Justin Timberlake, who took a picture with KHTK's very own Scott Marsh during UFC 200. I've seen the picture. I'll show it to you during the break. And also led the chant. I witnessed it myself of "Stand them up" during the Cormier Anderson Silva fight. He actually started the chant and got the entire building to chant it.
I love me a little JT.
Grant broadcasts live from the tournament starting Tuesday, July 19th. And of course, we'll talk to many, many, many of the stars playing. Before we get to Malachi Richardson, I will tweet this out as Scott Marsh, who none of you know listening, and I totally understand this.
Yeah, they have. I mean, he's filled in for us on Kings Radio.
And he's also filling in today.
Davis football.
I don't mean that like Scott's a nobody. I'm just saying we don't talk about Scott enough. But he is filling in today, I believe, with Henry Turner doing their version of the Lowdown. Lowdown will be filling in for Grant Napier. Here is Scott Marsh's picture with, I'll show you guys, with what looks to be a very unhappy, but yeah, dude, I'll take this picture. Stop bothering me, Justin Timberlake.
Oh.
He doesn't look happy to be taking the picture, I'll be honest.
Not entirely.
I mean, and this has nothing to do with Scott Marsh. I can imagine that somebody like a Justin Timberlake and the worldwide celebrity that he is, that anytime he goes out in public,
you can make it there with that, Katie?
Thanks. I'm just saying that it's not Scott. It's probably because he's taken 200 pictures already.
No, I agree with that.
I'm sure Scott smelled nice. It wasn't like an odor thing.
I don't know. Maybe he
did. A bad breath thing. I bet he's probably taken 200 pictures already.
Well, freaking way. You're in your 30s. You own part of the Grizzlies. You're a world-renowned superstar, and many a beautiful woman.
You're from Sacramento. You have our old coach.
That's probably what Marsh talked to him about, probably.
No kidding.
And then wanted to see if he'd do a bye.
And
talking about advertising. Scott does sales. Yes. See if you want to do a buy at KTK.
Yeah. You should clarify.
I wonder
because that look on JT's face
that's why.
Like another dude.
That's too expensive.
Really?
I wonder if he was like, I heard that the ownership group in Memphis is that crazy.
Probably.
Care to comment?
Yeah, even though he's part of the ownership group. We have a fine ownership group here who made a draft, and there's four new guys.
They made a draft.
By the way, over the weekend, Bogdanovich. And apparently, this has been submitted by the fellas over at Sacktown Royalty. They're now using a term for because these guys are going psycho crazy over Bogdan, who had a great weekend, by the way, scoring and all his stats and everything looked great over in Europe. They're calling themselves the Bogdana Beaches.
Oh, that's good.
That's their term. That's their term for the big fans of Bogdan. I don't think that's going to catch on.
Probably.
Bless you, Katie. Here's Malachi Richardson yesterday's summer league game, talking about life in the NBA, getting acclimated after his game-high 20 points to go with 7 rebounds and 3 turnovers. Here's Malachi talking to us.
All right, we're here with Malachi Richardson. Malachi, good game today. What do you take from it?
Just got to learn to close things out. We were had it up a little bit, and then down maybe 1 or 2 points, and then we let it slip away from us. Just got to close out a little bit better.
How are you feeling so far a couple days into summer league? You getting acclimated?
Yeah, I'm feeling a lot better after today's game than I did the first game. Just getting used to the style of play, getting used to my teammates. But I think everything will work out.
It's been a whirlwind for you, I'm sure, since the draft. So off-court stuff, what's the biggest thing you've had to adjust or the biggest thing that stands out in the NBA life?
Just having so much free time. You don't have to go to class or anything like that. So basically I'm just going to the gym 2 and 3 times a day and trying to stay busy and not just going out and doing nothing.
So for Kings fans that didn't watch you destroy it in the NCAA tournament, what do you have to work on going in?
Everything. I'm trying to become a complete player. Better defender, better offensive player, better scorer, shooter, slasher, everything. I'm trying to just become a complete player and be able to help out as much as possible.
How much total time have you gotten to spend in Sacramento?
I haven't been to Sacramento yet.
Ooh, that's right.
I haven't been there yet.
Everything to get official, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So now you had, for example, during the game, you missed, I want to say it was 1 or 2 free throws in a row, and then I think you hit your next 2 3-pointers. That's obviously a mental part. What are the mental game do you have to adjust to?
Just staying with it. Missed a few free throws that I normally make, so just had to get in the gym, work on it, and I'll be fine.
A lot of people back home are going to be listening to this. So what are you looking for most? Do you want good restaurants, good places to hang out? We have to acclimate you to Sacramento.
I just look forward to getting there, seeing the town and just being there. I look forward to putting on a Sacramento uniform.
See, you have very professional answers, so I'm always curious about this with rookies. Do you have somebody go over with you how to answer? Is this a natural ability or is that you brought in? Because your answers are awesome, dude.
I got a great team behind me that helps me with this stuff, but it's just common sense, in my opinion, saying the right things. You don't want to become a bad guy saying the wrong things to the media because it happens, but you just want to be smart in what you say. Appreciate it.
Malachi Richardson joining us. Katie, we saw him play at the game.
He was the player I was most impressed with at yesterday's
Absolutely.
Summer League game. And, yeah, he can score. You talked about his free throws. That's not something that I put a lot of weight in, especially during Summer League. But I was most impressed with his defense because he truly plays on both ends of the floor. And this is something you see with a lot of rookies, Nate, is everyone can get stoked to play offense. Mm-hmm. And especially at Summer League, they want to show their offensive skill set. And he was scoring. He was hitting some shots. He did a good job on that end of the floor.
He's taking home the honeys with defense, Katie. Come on.
I know. But you know what? This honey would go home for defense.
Yeah.
And I'll say this. He does a really – he's super active on the defensive end. He has good technique. He plays hard. He doesn't stop. You know, even away from the ball, he's aware and playing in a defensive, you know, team concept. And he denies really well. That was the one thing I took away that I was most impressed with him.
Absolutely.
And something, guess what, that the Kings really need, especially at the guard spot.
Let me ask you, a lot of
you know, dribble penetrations last year.
Right. Well, it's okay. So one game of Summer League, I mean, seeing some things that are positive that you like, but like how in what way, if at all, do you project that to the regular season?
Well, his willingness to play it. So, again, Summer League for me in a way is kind of a wasted thing because it's a lot of guys trying to get invites to camp.
Right.
And so you don't see a lot of team ball. You don't see a lot of guys that are trying to do kind of the unsung things like playing defense. They really want to showcase their ability to score offensively because, you know, and you can't fault them
like
because that's what
they used to say. You don't get your name in the paper for playing defense.
Yeah, that's what the NBA values. That's what a lot of fans value because they can see it on a stat sheet. But his willingness to play and dedicate himself for the entire defensive possession, that to me really sticks out because I think that'll transfer well to a team concept when you get into training camp and into the regular season.
You know, and we have to break. It said earlier, I understand what you're saying about the sometimes worthlessness of Summer League, but with Willie, isn't it really important, even though these guys, with maybe the exception of Malachi and one other guy, these are not, and Papianis, who we haven't even talked about yet, who got his first playing time yesterday, they're asking him to do a lot of different stuff from last year. He mentioned having to unlearn a lot of the habits he was taught or that he learned last year. Isn't every minute...
Did they ask him to do that, or does he feel he needs to do it?
I don't know, but I'm under the assumption that it was probably a combination of both. Like, hey, Willie, this is going to be a different year for you. And he was like, yeah, it's going to be a different year for me. Whatever it may be, isn't every minute on the floor with professional competition important for him, including
is
training camp?
Competition?
Well, yeah, it's as professional as he can get outside the actual NBA. So he's getting reps. This is almost like an extended training camp for Willie. And he feels like this is, again, his rookie year. So what's the harm?
What's the harm?
I mean, is there harm in him playing in Summer League?
No.
Okay.
No, I think for young guys, you know, 2-3 years, I think not a lot of third-year guys play in Summer League. It's important for them to have court time, and especially when you see a coaching change. You absolutely want to have the ability to allow your coaching staff to – I'm not laughing at you.
I'm sorry. No, I had another thought. I was trying to get away from the microphone.
You definitely want to allow your coaching staff to see guys that maybe have had a smaller role before they came to get a better look at them.
Well, either way, bottom line is new coaching staff, new acclimation.
And there's some changes, too. We'll talk about that after the break in terms of who's going to be coaching for the remainder of Summer League. Dave Yeager said, hey, I'm coaching Summer League. He coached the game last night, but there's going to be some changes there apparently as well.
We'll talk about that when we get back. Also, we'll try to push out these Kings Villains update, Katie and the rest of you, on who got nominated last week and see if all Katie's nominees got taken or she still has a couple to add. And you on the phone lines at 339 339- 1140, because again, we want the callers to add and the texters to add more than anything else. We're not going to do all the work for you on the drive. Sports 1140 KHDK.